You're listening to The Cop Show, a podcast from the BBC. You can find out more at bbc.co.uk/collegeofproduction.
Hello and welcome to The Cop Show. I'm Simon Smith, and this week we're talking about interviewing. Interviewing is something that we all do all the time in ordinary conversation. So it's something that we all think we know how to do. But when you're doing an interview for broadcast, you're steering the conversation much more purposefully than you might do in casual conversation. You're looking to avoid all the nonsense we, you know, normally speak to one another. The dull bits, the repetition, the irrelevant ramblings. And you've got to steer the conversation so that you just get the good bits. So there's an art to this, which we're going to be exploring with our guests this week. They are Bridget Osborne, a BBC radio and TV producer who used to be responsible for Hard Talk. Jeremy Phillips, exec producer on Piers Morgan's Life Stories at ITV. BBC Arts correspondent David Sillitoe. Many, many thanks indeed for joining us. Right, everybody, thank you for being here. I want to start off with what an interview shouldn't be. Bridget, give us an example of an interview that goes wrong.
I think probably the worst that I can think of is an interview that was done on West Midlands Radio by somebody who probably maybe should be nameless. But it was an interview, okay, Les Ross, with Hardeep Singh Kohli, and it's available to watch on the internet. It was so bad because the man had done no research whatsoever. He had no idea whether he was interviewing Hardeep about a book or a television series. He managed to confuse a light-hearted look at people's roots through food with a radio documentary which was about genocide and the partition of Pakistan from India. He alienated him. There was quite an edge to it. It was just a total car crash.
Ooh, yes. OK, we'll look out for that. David, what about you? What examples have you got of things where things haven't gone quite as planned?
I've got two. One was a famous Five Live interview. A new Scotland manager was being discussed and they called out into the newsroom, can you get Tommy Boyd, who was a former Scotland footballer and a manager? Up he came, and he was on the line, and they started to interview him. And he answered the first couple of questions fairly well. And then after a while, he started to stumble a bit, and then he suddenly stopped and he said, hang on a sec, I'm Tommy Boyd, the former presenter of Magpie. And they realised a terrible mistake had been made. And then there was one, I have to say, it's my own interview. I was on a red carpet, the British Independent Film Awards, we were live, and I had coming towards me Ewan McGregor. And I said, I've got Ewan McGregor. And they said, all right, we'll come to you live, and this is on the news channel. So I said, facing the camera, I'm joined now by, and I turned round, and Ewan McGregor had gone on to the next person to me, and in front of me was a woman I had no idea. And I thought, well, I will persevere. And I said, what brings you here? And she said, well, you know. And it went silent. And then her next question to me was, you have no idea who I am, have you?
And Jeremy, can you complete this? I mean, what happens when things go wrong?
The one that comes to mind for me is a BBC News interview that was done, I think it was on the BBC News channel, when they had a guy in the studio to talk about new technology and computers. I don't know how it happened, but somehow cab driver, presumably to take the guest there or pick him up or whoever it was that was supposed to be doing the interview, I don't know. He ended up somehow being interviewed on air about computers. And to give the guy his credit, he actually made a good stab at giving
this is Guy Gomer, isn't it? This is the Guy Gomer interview, yes. The notorious Guy Gomer interview.
But as a producer, you laugh at it and it's really funny. And then there's a little thing in the pit of your stomach which says, could be me one day, you know. You never know.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing those. It's important to kind of out the fact that an interview can go terribly, terribly wrong. Jeremy, with your work with Piers Morgan, describe how you approach those interviews. What's your approach for setting Piers up with his, shall we say, victim that week?
Well, it's obviously horses for courses, and we have a range of different interviewees from Gordon Brown when he was Prime Minister all the way through to Elton John or Simon Cowell, Cheryl Cole, those kind of people. It's all about the kind of planning and planning and planning. And I think perhaps when people watch it, they think of it as being a chat in a studio. But actually, you've got to plan every detail and every stage. But the key thing is, even though you've planned it in a huge amount of detail, you have to be prepared to go off script because you can never quite predict what the interviewee is going to say.
That's being in the hot seat as a producer, I guess. So, David, how do you get what you want from your interviewees?
My typical day is usually I get a call 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. They want something for 1 o'clock. It's a story. Yeah. I've got to go after it. I need two, maybe three people in it. And each person has to make an editorial point in it. The reason you have little sound bites is they have to say things that you can't say. So if someone's very angry about something that's happened or someone's trying to defend it, you have to know from the outset, what are they going to contribute? I use the rule of three. You ask the question that you want answered. They will give you the answer that they want to give you, which will be some guff that's in their heads, and you ignore that. You ask it again, and then they think, hang on a sec, I've just answered that question. I'll try and answer what his question is. And then you ask a third time, and they think, this man's an idiot. And they say, look, it's really simple. It's this. And that's when you get your 12-second soundbite, and you go off, and you say, thank you very much.
So, Bridget, is it really important to know precisely what it is that you want from an interview?
Yes, it is the most important thing. In a hard talk interview, which is 25 minutes, the biggest mistake that a new presenter can make is to think, oh, we've got ages. We end up with what I call a handbag interview, where you've got this big bag full of stuff and you can't actually find the thing you want. Even in a long-form interview, you need to have maximum of three clear points. Why am I doing this interview? What do I want out of it? Clarity of purpose then dictates everything else. You're likely to get the right guest. You'll get the questions right. You'll spend the time you've got doing relevant research. You've got to be really clear about what you're doing and why.
What makes a good contributor for an interview? What do you look for?
The rule of thumb is you want a person who is emotionally engaged with what you're talking about. So if you've got a choice of a manager or a person on the shop floor, I always go for the person on the shop floor. You're wanting someone who can talk vividly. You're wanting somebody who can talk with authority. We often think we're looking for words. My best sound bites, my best interviews have been made up of silences. They've been made up of stumblings. They've been made up of exclamations. I did a piece about ballet in Glasgow that was by boys who are from the roughest areas of Glasgow. And there was one chap, I just wanted to interview him as soon as he had finished on stage. And half of his interview was him out of breath. But he then said, I didn't expect ballet to be like this. Your point is made. It's the emotional heart you're looking for of the story. And you can just catch it every now and again. You've just got to be willing to step in there.
Bridget, what about you when you're looking for a victim for hard talk? What did you look for?
It only works if you have somebody who will take responsibility. I mean, hard talk is all about holding somebody to account, so they have to be accountable. You're talking about people who have power or influence. And the kind of interviews that make me swear and curse at the radio are you get something dreadful has happened, a baby has died, you get the head of the social services on, you say, how can you have let this happen? And the head of the social services says, well, I wasn't in the job at the time, it's not my fault. And you just think, why didn't you get the right guest? Why didn't you get the person who was responsible?
And what don't you want, Jeremy, when you're thinking about lining up guests for Piers Morgan? Who are the kind of people you look at and you go, nah?
There's a national treasure element to a lot of the people that we have on the show. They're big names that people want to tune in on Saturday night and see. They've got to be kind of lovable. They've got to be people who are going to give a bit of themselves and reveal something new about those stories. Otherwise, we're just regurgitating what the audience already know.
All three of you have talked quite clearly about emotional truth, about a sense of getting to the heart of a subject with a real person in a real way. So how do you do that? Let's think about the questions that you ask and how do you start eliciting that emotion?
Very short questions. Leave silences. People will fill silences. Long questions, they don't know what you're talking about. What have you asked? Another thing is also how you do the question. Get them to do something. People talk naturally while they're doing something else. It seems an odd thing to do, works brilliantly. Sit side by side. And for some reason, it doesn't seem like an inquisition anymore. The thing about the Piers Morgan interviews is they're like bear pit interviews. And you have to have great interviewees who are performers, who'll rise to that. Most people you're interviewing, this is probably the only time in their lives that they're going to be spoken to this way. And also your demeanour. It really does matter. You've got to look as though you're genuinely interested in what they're saying. Most people are flattered to be talked. I do a lot of vox pops, just stopping people in the street. Most journalists hate doing them. I just love it because most times people will stop and go, oh, I not thought of that. As long as you get your question right, short, pithy, and something that they might be interested in.
Bridget, with a series like Hard Talk, is the expectation that you will start with a really tough question? Do you go in hard or do you give people a chance to warm up?
Very often hard, yes, because you need to show the audience and the person in front of you that we're not messing about. This is serious business. People's lives are at stake. The economy, whatever it is, you're responsible for this. Let's not mess around here. Let's get straight to it. But I think the idea of warming somebody up is a terrible idea, really. If you're doing a very sensitive interview and you want to win somebody's confidence, of course. But if you just think, oh, well, I've got ages, I'll just kind of warm them up a bit. What happens is you get this nebulous mess of odd tangents. It's important to keep control. Most times, as David says, you ask somebody in a vox pop or, you know, in a hospital or whatever about the state of their health, their marriage. Most people naturally answer you confronted with a microphone. So there is quite a level of responsibility there.
You're listening to The Cop Show with me, Simon Smith, and we're talking about effective interviewing. I've got Bridget Osborne, Jeremy Phillips and David Sillitoe here with me in the studio. So a lot of it's about finding the right question and then managing that interview. Jeremy, let's think about that a little bit more with your guests. Do you show them the questions in advance?
We don't tell them specifically what the questions are going to be. We've never done that with anybody who we've ever had on the show. If somebody asks and they want to have some guidance on what areas we're going to cover, that's fine. I mean, a lot of them, they'll kind of guess what we're going to ask anyway. They are often very nervous when they come on, and it's a very intimidating atmosphere with the audience there in the studio, and they know they're going to be taken through their life story. So it is quite nerve-wracking for them. And it's a slightly different B-Star show, but we do need to kind of relax them and flatter them a little bit at the top. When you watch back the rushes of the show, which is edited down from maybe a couple of hours of interview into 45 minutes with the commercial breaks, at the beginning of the show, they're often quite all over the place with what they're saying and very nervous and not really answering the questions that are asked.
Libby Purvis on Midweek, which is live, relaxes people by chatting inanely about anything and everything all through the news, right up to the moment the red light goes on, when she just puts up her hand and goes seamlessly into the conversation because she doesn't want to sit them down during the news, getting more and more nervous, waiting for the moment when the programme will start.
How do you deal with people who are nervous, David, or unwilling to give you that emotion that you've talked about?
The best interviews are interviews that have happened as a consequence of extraordinary length. The one that was voted the greatest interview of all time, which is the David Frost, Richard Nixon one, he was interviewing him for 17 hours. You've really had to grind people down and eventually they'll get to the point, and he only just did. You can see a soundbite on television or you can hear it in radio and you can go, that's not honest, that's not real, that's done for the media. And then you can see something that seems heartfelt. I remember doing a little vox pop and I just stopped this woman. I said, in a word, Harlow Town Centre. And there was this long silence. Crap. And I thought, can I use it? But I'm afraid it made the piece. Totally made the piece.
Of course it would, and of course it should. What about managing things where your questions will be used and your questions might not be used?
I used to work on You and Yours consumer affairs programme, and we got a lot of people who were not particularly articulate but were outraged about one thing or another. And there was a particular reporter, he would say, look, just say after me. No, we don't do that anymore. We're not allowed to do that, and quite rightly so. But you can say to them, I actually will cut my questions out of this. Would you mind putting that as a whole statement? And they'll think about it for a minute. They'll do it again, and you've got your clip.
I used to, at the beginning, say, can you put those two points together? And if you were a print journalist, it would look absolutely right. But it sounds rubbish. It sounds like radio, television, media speak. What I normally do is I say, sorry, I'm not following you. Run that past me again. What are you talking about? And eventually you'll get to that point. Or you just leave a silence and they'll fill it. And that's the moment when they really will blurt out with something. But sometimes something fantastic happens. They will tell you something new. And you go, hang on a sec, my story might be rather different. You have to listen to what they're saying.
Who are your favourite interviewers? Bridget, who do you think is master of the art at the moment?
Jeremy Paxman, for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think not only do I like the way he barbecues politicians, he gives good eyebrow, as I believe they say in theatre. I love that sceptical, quizzical, raised eyebrow. But I also think that he has a sensitivity which he's often not credited with.
The Jeremy Paxman interviews, there's a bit of theatre about those, and I love that, the drama and the confrontational nature. You know that he's not going to pull any punches. It's great to watch.
The other great interviewer was actually Louis Theroux, who really did help pioneer a new form of interviewing. We got a completely new vision of the Hamiltons, and we certainly got a new vision of Jimmy Savile. And it's a very simple thing. They were just following him around with a camera, asking questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan. OK, well, we like to finish these podcasts with a single piece of advice. So if I was starting out in my career and for the first time perhaps facing a big interview, Jeremy, what piece of advice would you give to me as I set off with my camera and my kit bag?
I'm going to steal my answer for this from Trevor MacDonald. And he just simply said it's planning, planning, planning.
Clarity of purpose. And you say to your husband, brother, mate, whatever, oh, I'm going to interview so-and-so. And they say, oh, I'd love to ask him that. And the thing they come up with, the gut instinctive thing, is usually the right thing.
David, what about you?
Yeah, you're not doing it for the interviewer, you're not doing it for the interviewee, it's the person listening, watching. Be brave. I'm effectively doing it for my mum, who's throwing things at the television.
Brave indeed. Bridget, David, Jeremy, many, many thanks indeed for joining us. It's been a fascinating conversation. If you want more information about the art of the interview, you can find a load more information at our sister site, which is bbc.co.uk/journalism, and pop the art of the interview into the search box there. And if you've got any questions about this podcast, or if there's a topic that you'd like us to cover in the future, please do get in touch by emailing us at collegeofproduction@bbc.co.uk. And you can also find us and follow us on Twitter at bbccop. That's at bbccop. The Cop Show is produced by Jim Downey. Thanks for listening.